That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi there, and welcome to Grief is My Superpower. I'm Mark Lemon, award-winning children's author, bereavement ambassador, and your host for this podcast. Each week, I'll be interviewing incredible people that get open and honest about their own experience with grief. When I was 12 years old, my dad was murdered, and my life changed forever. I try to explore with my guests if it's possible to live a happy and fulfilled life after the death of a loved one. You can find me as Mark Lemon Official on Instagram and at the Lemon Drop Books website. For this episode, I speak with musician Jay Soul. Jay Soul speaks with me about the death of his mum and how it shaped his outlook on life. You can find Jay Soul on Instagram and Twitter as Jay Soul World. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment wherever you're listening to this podcast. By doing this, it will help us to reach more people in need of support at a tough time. This podcast is in support of children's bereavement charity, Winston's Wish. Okay, so as per my introduction, my guest today is someone that I've recently discovered through social media. And after seeing everything that they're about, realizing that the journey that they've gone through themselves, through their own grief, is very powerful. And it's Jay Soul. How are you?
Yes, I'm great, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. So thank you so much for speaking with me today and, you know, taking time out. And, you know, as all our interviews have been this year, with, through this strange pandemic that we're going through, you know, I'm sitting at home in my kitchen and no doubt you're somewhere at home, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, would you be able to just give them a brief sort of about you and what you're about, please?
Yeah. So my name is Jay Soul. I'm a preacher's kid. So I grew up singing in church and that's kind of where I discovered I guess my gift and my talent that I wanted to share with the world for the rest of my life. And ever since then, I guess, yeah, I've just kind of been on this journey to create a life and to create an impact within the music and entertainment industry. So I attended the Brit School where I studied musical theatre, and that's kind of what kind of really shaped a lot of my skills and taught me a lot of, I guess, the ways I wanted to maneuver in the music industry and where I really wanted to place my foot. After the Brit School, I got a little publishing deal with Sony Records, and then, yeah, I guess I've just kind of been pursuing my solo journey. I did feature on the X Factor, but I guess a lot more people would probably recognize me from my YouTube refixes. I had a moment where I was like kind of doing a lot of covers and I guess kind of making a lot of popular songs and kind of flipping them and giving them like a 90s R&B refix. And a lot of them went viral, and that kind of really, really just started to, I guess, get a lot of momentum around my name. And that's kind of really been my journey. And obviously I've released a few singles, and one of which, the first one, which was Alien, which kind of, I guess, really kind of put me into a lot of people's radar, which was Alien. And it got playlisted on so many big radio stations. And I'm so blessed still till today for that amazing opportunity. And yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So, yeah, it's quite a journey so far. But I guess, you know, while we're talking today and you know, you've come on to share your own story, and I was just wondering whether you could share with the listeners about your own experience with grief, please.
For sure. So 2015 was the hardest year of my entire life. There's never been a year quite like it. I didn't know that year was going to be the way it was. April 22nd will forever be a day that I'm afraid of, if I'm being honest with you. So my mum suddenly passed to cancer. I remember one day I woke up and she wasn't in, which was very, very strange because my mum was always kind of usually in, and especially in the morning. So I woke up and she wasn't in. So I called my dad, and that was mum. He's like, oh, she's just in the hospital, you know, she wasn't really feeling well. So I didn't really think much of it. So I went out about my day as normal. And then the next day she was still there. I mean, I called her that evening. She was like, I'm still here. I'm going to leave tomorrow. So still, I'm not really thinking much about it. Then the next day, I remember I was in a studio session and my sister called me saying, the doctor's just diagnosed mum with cancer. And this would have been like middle March. And I remember I'm literally in the booth about to record a song and I've literally just frozen. Like I completely went numb. And I remember like the producer and the writers in the studio were like, oh yeah, Jay, you ready to, you know, record? And I'm one of them people, I don't like people seeing my emotions. So I instantly went into acting mode. And just, you know, trying to hold face and just like, yeah, everything's cool, you know, whatever. So I'm carrying on in the studio session with that in the back of my mind, like, oh, what is happening? And, you know, I guess automatically I just thought, okay, cool. It's cancer, but it's not the end of the world. I've heard a lot of, you know, positive stories, like a lot of people have survived and beaten it. And ultimately that I was just trying to remain positive. Went to the hospital that night and my mom seemed fine. And then she was able to leave, I guess, the day after we picked her up. And then I remember, like, one of the last conversations I remember with her is I remember sitting with her in my conservatory at the time. And she was just like, Stephen, which is my real name. She was like, Stephen, like, she's like, my body's not doing what I'm telling it to do. And she was just so down, and I've never seen my mum down before because she's very strong. Arguably, she's strong. I think women are stronger than men, if I'm being totally honest with you. Like, she's just always been a rock. And I've just never, the only time I've ever seen my mum being weak is when her father passed away. And I remember being a kid, like, why is she crying? Like, you know, like, I'm 7 years old, like, why is she crying? Like, I didn't really understand it. And yeah, I just remember her saying, like, my body's not telling me, it's not doing what I'm telling it to do. And I just started, like, just a bit of tears started coming down my eyes. And I was like, mom's going to be fine, man. Like, don't worry. Like, you know, like, we're all very much a Christian household. So I was like, listen, like, there's nothing God can't do and this and that. And later on that evening, she had a stroke in the house. And we took her to the hospital, and then the next day when we came to visit her, they were like, yeah, she's not gonna make it, like, this is her final day. And I remember being like, hang on, like, I was talking to her yesterday, like, what do you mean this is her final day? And from that day she was just in a coma, basically. And yeah, and that was kind of everything. And I just remember, you know, me and my siblings, me and my three sisters, all just kind of surrounding her while she was just laying there. And that was literally the last moment. And yeah, that was literally the last moment. And before she completely passed and went on, I remember her opening her eyes and looking at every single one of us, her children. And then that was just it. that was literally just it. Like, she kept breathing, and the breathing kept stopping, and then she would like gasp for more air, and then it would stop. And every time she'd gasp, like, we would just like be like, kind of thing, like, okay, she's still with us. And it happened maybe about 6 times, and then the last time, she didn't gasp for air, and that's when we was just like, I was completely silent in the room, and my sisters were all screaming. Like, I remember that hospital was like, it was like a scene in a movie. Like, my sisters were screaming down that whole hospital, and I was just there frozen, just looking at her like, no, like, this cannot be real. I have to be in a dream. This cannot be real. And I just remember thinking, please someone come and save the day, please someone come and help me, please someone just do something. Like, we was begging the hospital, I mean, we were begging the doctors and the nurses more so, to do something, and they were just like, there's nothing we can do. And I was just like, listen, like, we can go private, I've got money and this and that. And they was just like, there's absolutely nothing we can do. And I've never felt so helpless in my entire life. And I remember that's kind of what I really remember from the last days of mum.
Oh, that happened so quickly, didn't it?
So quick, within weeks.
Do you remember following the days that she died and how you felt, how you coped? Because obviously a lot of people that would be listening to this would have gone through their own grief. And you know, and we always say that everyone's grief is individual, and we all deal with it in our own way and cope with it in our own way. And do you remember how you got through those days following your mum's death?
So the first 2 days, I was fine. It was almost like it didn't register, you know? It was like, yeah, she's gonna walk through the door anytime now, you know? I don't know why I thought that, but that was my thought process. And then I remember, because both my parents are preachers, like they both have a church, and they have a massive congregation. So I just remember there were so many people from church, you know, coming to visit, friends from around the world coming to visit us, cooking for us, and just, you know, being so present. And I, to this day, I'm so grateful, because I don't know what I would have done without all of those people visiting and showing love and being there for me. You know, and that's why I have a different level of respect. And during this whole pandemic, sorry to kind of go a bit off, but I don't know, the people that have lost someone during this period of time, I think are a different level of strong, because I couldn't imagine losing my mom during this pandemic where people wasn't able to come and visit and look after me, because the way my head was, like, I was definitely very suicidal. And it's only because of the prayers and the people coming round to really motivate me and keep me alive and keep me going, it's only because of them, like, that I believe I'm still here today. Because if I was just trapped by myself in my room, It really would have been a different story, you know? Just having if I just had all of that time to be in my own thoughts the way a lot of us were during this whole lockdown, then it would have been just so different for me. And, you know, I know a couple of people that have lost a close one during this, you know, this year. And I really do salute every single one of them. And... you know, I've tried to be there for a lot of them, but I don't even know how to be there for them, because it's like a different level that I can't relate to. You know, I really feel like they're in a different league, this is super hard, but I think that's harder personally. I think that would have been very, very much harder, in terms for me.
I think you're right. I think in terms of this year and the pandemic and the grief that a lot of people out there are feeling, and, you know, like you say, a lot of people can't visit. You know, if you've got grandparents, you can't, you know, a lot of people haven't been able to say goodbye or go to the funeral. And so it's hugely tough.
I couldn't imagine not, like, I, you know, we gave my mom the biggest send off we can really afford at the time. It wasn't as big as I wanted it to be, but it was still big, and there was a lot of people that came, and, you know, people that sang, and you know, we really tried to put on a production for her. And, you know, I really wanted to, it was the last thing I could really do, and as an entertainer, that was my, you know, this is my field. So I really wanted it to, I really wanted the celebration, it to be a celebration and not so much a funeral. That was kind of my, really my thought process. And, you know, I couldn't imagine me and my siblings not even being able to say goodbye to her in the hospital, you know, not getting to visit and stuff like that. It's, you know, my heart goes out to people that lost someone this year, because it could not have been easy, and they deserve all the love and praises and comfort and blessings and whatever.
It's an incredibly tough time. I know, sort of moving on to my next question, which, you know, I mean, we touched on it briefly with the introduction, but, you know, yesterday, for instance, I watched your audition on The X Factor. And if I'm honest, I also showed it to my, my five-year-old little girl this morning, just to say, look, this is who I'm interviewing this afternoon. And she was, you know, herself, like, being a five-year-old, she was like, wow, that was amazing. But, you know, kind of leading on to that audition and also the power of music and creativity that is such a healing process, and can be for lots of people. I was just wondering what gave you the push to go on to The X Factor and to share your song with so many people out there, and also how powerful music's been to you through your own grief.
So X Factor, The Voice, and other TV shows, music TV shows, have been emailing me, calling me to come on their show since maybe 2011. It's been a long time. I'm 2016, I wish. I'm 26 now, 11 years. What's that? Since I was like 16, 15, some of these shows have wanted me to come on them and audition for them. And I've always said no. It's doing a TV talent show, I never really saw that in my future. And I remember growing up, my mom was always like, yo, you should do The X Factor. It would be so amazing. And I always tell my mom, that's not the route I want to go down. And, you know, the artists that I aspire to be like the Michaels, the Stevies, the, you know, the Bobby Browns and the Ushers, like, they didn't do a talent show. So in my head, I wanted to go down their route, you know, where I got signed and I done it this way. And that was the way I kind of visioned my career going. And I just always kind of said, like, those shows aren't really respected. People don't really respect those kind of artists that go on those kind of TV shows. And that was kind of my thing. And that was kind of always what I said to my mom. But she was always like, listen, you need to do this show. And I remember maybe a couple months before she passed, she actually sent me a link to audition for The X Factor. I ignored it. So 2018, so 2015, they would have hit me up again. But 2015, like you said, how was my stages after my mom passed? I was on a high. Like, I didn't believe it. I was, I guess, very in denial. I was definitely in denial for quite a few years. But it didn't hit me. And I remember there was a lot of people in my house, there was maybe for like the first 2-3 weeks, people were in my house every day, lots, maybe like over 30-40 people were in my house every day. I remember the second day, me and my girl at the time, we was all in my room, and friends as well, all in my room, and we were watching a 90s TV show, I can't remember, maybe it was Kenan and Kel, and I remember, like, we was all just in the show, like, laughing or whatever, and out of nowhere, I just started crying, like, one of those loud cries, like, you know, those disgusting ones that just sounds like, it's just got so much bass and weight on it, you know, those, yeah, and I remember everyone was just looking at me, no one knew what to do, because for the first couple of days, everyone was like, wow, Jay, like, you're so strong, like, you know, like, but, you know, like, looking at me in pity. So again, like, I was showing face as someone in the entertainment industry, and someone like myself, I hate people feeling sorry for me. So I was always kind of keep trying to keep face and hold face, like, I've got this, like, this is nothing. Like, I'm gonna, I can handle this kind of thing. Like, I'm a G, like, what, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever life has to throw at me, I can deal with it kind of thing. And that's kind of always been my mentality. But this one, I couldn't, like, after 48 hours, I just couldn't hold it. Like, it, I was just like, it just, something came over me and I just had to let it all out. I couldn't hold it in front of people anymore. And of course, like, when I was by myself, I remember crying in pillows and all of that kind of stuff at night, to, you know, trying to sleep. But whenever I was in front of people, I had to hold face. I had to hold it together. I had to be in my head. I had to be the strong one. I had to be the man in my house. And I had to let my sisters, you know, in my head, be the vulnerable ones and be the ones that were able to cry. But I had to be the one that, you know, didn't really show emotion, which I think is such a toxic trait. But that was kind of the thing. And I've kind of waffled on, but I knew where I was going to go, but I can't remember now.
I think you moved on to a really good point in a way. I mean, obviously us as men, and do you know what, we did talk off mic about how men can struggle when talking about grief or their mental health, you know, and over the last couple of years it's been a great spotlight shined on mental health and men sort of opening up in that way. But it is, and I mean, I was 12 years old when my dad died, and I remember someone coming up to me and going, well, you're the man of the family now, or the house now. And I was like, well, I am 12 years old. But like you say, there's this toxic thing around masculinity and acting in a certain way and being a certain way. So I guess for you, when you had that opening up of, you know, the tears, the belly tears, how did it make you feel? Did you feel like a weight off?
Oh my God, I remember it was the biggest weight. And I remember because during that time, there was a comfort I found from talking to people that had lost a parent, to the point of I only wanted to be around people that had lost a parent, because I felt embarrassed to lose a parent, if I'm being totally honest with you. I remember, like, I felt like people that still had both their parents, like, I felt like they had their ish together more than I did. I felt like they were better. I felt like, I don't know, I just remember feeling embarrassed to not have a mum, embarrassed that my mum didn't survive, you know, and beat the cancer. There was just so many things, mixed emotions, and I only wanted to be around people that understood the pain I was going through. And I remember this girl, she came to me and she said her thing was cry whenever you want to cry. That was something I still remember. Like, and that's something that I tell anyone that hit me up, or anyone that has lost a loved one. I just say cry whenever you want to cry. And that's my only advice. And that was advice given to me. And every time I cried, it helped. I can't explain it, but it was a relief. You know, of course it still hurts, etc., but it was kind of just like some weight off of my shoulder every time I was crying. And I needed that cry, and I never cry, you know, but that was the only thing that made me cry.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah. It is that thing, isn't it? It kind of opens the floodgates. You know, you know, once you realize that there's that thing that gets you, and I'm the same, you know, if I'm sat there on my own, I think about normally it's when I'm least expecting it. I don't know about you, but it could be anything that sort of triggers it off, but it is such a release. And I think that's such a big message that we need to give to young people really as well, isn't it? And that it's all right to show these emotions.
I think it's the only way to get through it, showing them emotions. And I mean, I'm not the person that shows it in the front. I think everyone shows their emotions differently. Like, I remember I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, and we both had a gig in Italy, and you know, she was, I think someone posted like a kind of, they posted themselves crying on social media. And she said to me, she was like, I don't understand why people film themselves crying on social media. Like, I don't get it. I would never do it. And I said to her, that might be her version of a cry for help, that she needs someone to help her. You know, she doesn't know any other way to do it, but that way. Some people aren't good at messaging or picking up the phone and saying to someone, I need your help, I'm going through this. Some people, it's easier for them to just film themselves and post that on social media and hope that people care enough to reach out. You know, everyone's kind of method is different to showing that they need help. I guess my way of showing that I need help is not trying to show it and hoping that people would just call me and be like, are you all right? Do you need this? Do you need that? And probably most times I'm going to say I'm all right, even though I'm not all right. But then my close friends will know that I'm not all right from just looking at me in the eyes or just hearing my voice, you know, just people paying attention. And, you know, I think in a time like this where people are very judgmental on how people do certain stuff, like especially on social media, oh my God, it's the worst place to be in the world. I hate it. But and to go a little bit off again, I'm sorry, but you know, John Legend and Chrissy, is her name Teigen? I know that they just lost their child a couple of weeks ago. And I saw so many comments like, why did she post a picture? Why is she tweeting? And, you know, and my thing was, that's her escape. That's how she's dealing with it. She wanted to post a picture. She wanted to share that. You know, for some people, sharing what they're going through really is their way of dealing with what they are going through. You know, some people are internal, some people are external. And I just can't stand to see people criticizing people and the methods that they choose to go down to deal with their grief. I kind of went off on a tangent there, but
no, it's true. It's completely true what you're saying. You know, everyone's grief is individual. Everybody deals with it in their own way. And
yeah. So yeah, we spoke about the X Factor and what made me want to do that. So 2015, obviously my mom passed. So that the first couple of months, I remember I done a headline show. I didn't cancel it. I was like, I want to do it. I carried on releasing music. It, like I said, it didn't really hit me until later on. And then later on in the year, that's when it hit me. And I was just depressed for a good 2 years. Like, I couldn't do much. I spent a lot of time in my bed watching films, getting fat, you know, and just not looking after myself, to be very honest with you. and then 2018 came, and I think that year saved me. I think that was a very, very good year for me. And then the X Factor approached me again, maybe in around March, I want to say. Someone DMs me on Instagram saying, hey, we're talent scout for X Factor. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Now, again, usually I just air all of the messages and the emails, but something in my heart, actually, what the something in my heart was, is a couple of days before that DM, I was going through text messages between my mom and my mom and myself, and I saw that X Factor application form link that she sent me. So when I got the DM from the X Factor A&Rs, it kind of just felt like it was meant to be. I was like, this is weird. I just read the messages between my mom and I, and now I'm getting the talent scouts for X Factor hitting me up. I'm like, this has to be a sign. It has to be. So this time, for the first time, I entertained the conversation. I was like, cool. What is it about? What do you want me to do? Like, how do you guys see my future on this show? And, you know, I told the girl, I can't remember her name, on the phone, I was like, listen, the only way I'm going to do it is if I perform the song that I wrote for my mom on the show. And she was like, let's hear it. And I played it to her. And so I sung it to her. And she cried. And I remember I got invited to do an audition and meet the producers. And they were all just like speechless when I sang the song. And I remember they said to me, you're going to do very well on this show. But you have to understand it is also a TV show. And I said, everything, my whole journey on this show is going to be dedicated to my mom, because she wanted me on this show. I don't want to be on this show. She wanted it, you know? So I'm doing this for her. It's kind of, and it kind of felt like the last thing I had to do for her, you know? It was the last thing she asked of me, and I didn't do it for so many years. So it was really, really fulfilling to finally do something she asked me to do, because for years, you know, everyone, you know, their mum or their parents tell them to do something. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to clean that room. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And I finally had something years later. I was like, oh, I actually have something I can do that my mum's told me to do, you know? So it kind of felt like a chore kind of thing. And I felt very like proud of myself after. Also very disappointed in myself because I felt like I had a lot more to offer. And I kind of felt like I let myself down in aspects. But above anything, I felt like what I needed to do on that show was fulfilled. And I think above anything, that was reaching out and singing my song to help a lot of other people that are dealing with what I'm going through. And the funny thing is that that song, Bullet in My Heart, was never meant to be released. That was a private conversation that I wrote between my mom and I, like just asking her where she is in the world, like, how have we lost our way, you know, and telling her how this has made me feel. I feel like there's literally a bullet in my heart and I'm not, how am I not dead? If I'm feeling this way, how am I still alive? How is there still air in my lungs? But I feel so dead, you know, and that was the conversation. And, you know, it so happened a couple of years later, it was meant to be for the world and it saved so many people. I get DMs every day about that song. And more recently, it went viral on TikTok and that was just such a moment, like just seeing the comments and seeing amazing things like of how people relate to it and how it's literally everything that they're feeling, you know?
Yeah. That's the power of showing your vulnerability, isn't it?
Right. And from then on, I was just like, I want to write more impactful songs that actually have meaning, you know, and that can outlive me. Like, I know for a fact that song will outlive me, you know, like it will stay, you know, as long as there's internet, that song will always be around because it'll be something that people will forever be able to visit. Because unfortunately, the only thing you can guarantee in life is death, you know, and I feel like music is one of the best ways to deal with it. You know, it really is comforting.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So I want to move on to a question for you. If you could share three things about your mum that make you smile when you think of her, what do you think they might be?
Her cooking. Definitely her cooking. Her work ethic. And the love that she shared to people. I always used to say to my mom, you love other people more than you love your own kids, because she was just so giving. She was so loving. She was so compassionate. She was so forgiving, you know, like she really, really just loved people in general. Like she would literally give her last to someone. And I always admired that. To be fair, both my parents have that, but I always really, really admired that about my mom, how she looked after people. So aside the church, she was a care worker. And she helped so many kids become better, you know. And when she passed, it was so interesting to see a lot of people that she's helped over the years, you know, they were in tears, you know. And there's something about people that aren't blood crying. Well, for me, there's something about people that aren't directly related to her being impacted the same way that I'm impacted. You know, like I remember being on Instagram and people posting pictures, like, you know, with captions saying, this one really hurts. Like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, Auntie Victoria, like, how can this be? And, you know, seeing those things was like, wow, like, my mom really had an impact in other people's lives, not just her kids' lives, you know? And that was very important for me to see. And just because it just also lets you know, like, life is not meant to be lived forever, but you're meant to, there's a purpose. And, you know, I really felt like my mum really fulfilled her purpose in life, which was helping people, seeing the better in people and helping them seeing the better in themselves. I really feel like I felt like she had more to offer, but I feel like it definitely wasn't in vain. She done so much. And if anything, like also like, I don't know if there's a positive out of anything, it's that I know that there's been a lot of people that have said, without my story, without my song, they would have, whether it was commit suicide or not being able to get through it or harm themselves or whatever it is, like if it wasn't for my story, they wouldn't have been able to cope. So sometimes in my head, as a spiritual person, as a Christian, I do sometimes believe that everything happens for a reason. That's kind of the way I deal with my situation, is that there has to be a reason. And you know, I just feel like, you know, that was, I guess, that was the reason to help other people deal with what they were meant to do. I think music is a very, very powerful tool. And I would not have been able to write this music. I know I never, because this is not the kind of music I normally write, you know? This song would never exist if I didn't go through what I went through, you know? Unfortunately, a lot of artists, to create your best material, you have to go through pain. You have to go through hard stuff, and it's the worst. But as a creative, you can create stuff that really impacts the lives of other people through your hurt, through your pain. And that's what I was able to do with my hurt and pain. And that was able to save millions and, you know, a lot of people's lives and help people relate and not feel alone, because it's very easy to feel alone. Because I remember feeling alone for a very long time, and like I'm the only person dealing with what I'm going through, you know?
I'm completely with you. And that, you know, that's the whole ethos around this podcast. And it's why it's called Grief is My Superpower, because exactly that reason, you know, you've used your grief and you've helped other people. And I think, you know, like we said earlier about showing vulnerability and letting people know that through this terrible time, you can go on and share your experience in a positive way. And I think that's great. So I'm just moving on to some questions from the children at Children's Bereavement Charity, Winston's Wish. And the first one is, how do you make yourself feel happy when you're feeling sad?
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Good question. If I'm feeling sad about my mom, I actually bought her perfume. Smells are so important. You know, it's crazy this what a scent of someone can do. So my mom's perfume that she always wore was Alien and Angel. Whenever I smell that, sometimes I might just, I don't know, I might be sitting next to someone on a train or, and they smell like that. And I literally can feel my mom next to me. And I literally look up and be like, wow, mom, you're like sending me signs or something. You know, like I feel her around me. So sometimes if I'm like really missing her, I might just spray her perfume around, you know, the room or whatever, just to kind of feel her presence. To be fair, I do always feel her presence a lot. If I really tap into, there's a space in my head that I can really tap in and go into, and I hug my mom a lot. So if I close my eyes, I can literally visualize hugging her, and I can feel it within me, which is weird, but I can't make it make sense. But that's what it is.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. The next one is, what piece of music reminds you of your mom?
Good question. Gospel music. Gospel music reminds me of my mom. That's what she played all the time. But my mom also wasn't very musical. To be fair, listen, she didn't like loud music. I get my music from my dad. It's usually gospel music, or there's a Janet Jackson song that my mom loves, which is Doesn't Really Matter. My mom loved that song. So, yeah.
It's just like anything, isn't it? The music, the perfume, the fragrance, anything that resonates and brings back those special memories is incredible. Okay, the next one is, what do you do to remember your mum on important days like her birthday?
This is still something I'm working on. 5 years later, if I'm being totally honest with you, I have not been to my mum's grave for 5 years. The last time I went to her grave was 2015. I have not been able to get myself to go there. And I'm not proud of that.
But that's okay. You know, I think I could, you feel it in the pause, you know, and that's why I left the pause there for the listeners, you know, because, and we, you know, bang on about it all the time. It's like, you do it how you want to do it and when it feels right. And when you get to that point where you feel you can go, then you go, you know, and that's all right.
Yeah. Every year I tell myself, okay, this year I'm going to do it. And like the week of like of her birthday, I'd be like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get flowers. I'm going to go there. And then I just, the day comes and I just physically can't get myself to go. It's crazy. And I feel like it's become a thing where, I mean, yeah, me and like my siblings and my dad, we kind of like have swept it under the carpet, which is really, really bad. And I guess during the pandemic, we all got very closer and we, you know, we had certain uncomfortable conversations about it, but I definitely feel like there's more conversation to be had with that all. But yeah, I haven't been to a graveyard in 5 years. And the reason I feel bad, because sometimes I go and I do have a lot of friends now that have lost someone. And, you know, like I see them looking after their loved ones, you know, graveyard and, you know, sweeping it and cleaning it, and putting new fresh flowers there. And I just always think to myself, what does my mum's one look like? You know? I think to myself, if I know for a fact, if I passed away before my mum, that place, my mum will be there every day, you know, cleaning it and making sure it looks amazing and making sure there's new flowers there and this and that. And that's why I say I'm just a lot weaker compared to her, because, you know, I just know that she, the upkeeping of it would be so much, she would do better if it wasn't, if it was the other way around. And that's why I feel very bad and guilty. But I'm working on it. I'm working. It's something I really want to do. And hopefully this year, her birthday is December the 31st. Hopefully this year I push myself to do it.
If it feels right, it feels right. And, you know, I think one thing I was thinking about when you were speaking is you said you feel her all the time anyway, you know, when you want to hug her, you close your eyes. And so, you know, however, whatever emotions brings when you visit the grave, you know deep down that she's always with you anyway. And, you know, and I'm sure she's beaming with pride wherever she is, you know. So, okay, next question is, what three things are you most thankful for at the moment?
Three things I'm most thankful for at the moment is health. Definitely health. This year, above anything, I think everyone knows how important health is. Family and friends and a roof over my head.
One last question, which I always like to end on, and, you know, sometimes it's a tricky one, but if you had one final conversation with your mum, what do you think you might like to say to her?
Wow, I've never thought about this before. Got to think about this. Last conversation with my mum. What do you think I would say? I think it would be full of apologies, if I'm being totally honest with you. I think it would be full of apologies, like just, because there's so much that, being an adult now, there's so much that I used to do when I was a kid, and I used to just think my mum hated me, you know, for protecting me. But, you know, when you grow up and you really, really understand life, you're like, wow, they've done that because they love you. You know, I think I would be like, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this. This is what I've done wrong. And you doing this made me better. You doing this, like, I can see it all being working for my good now, you know, because at the time I just thought she was trying to rain on my parade and not allow me to live my best life, you know. But mama's always know best. And I think it'll be full of just like, wow, like, I understand why you've done this now. And it's really, really made me who I am today. And I would just constantly say, I love you. You know, you are literally my everything. I think that'll be the conversation.
I think I love you would be, you know, and I say it all the time, but I think it's the big one on our lips, isn't it, if we had the opportunity. But I just want to say a massive thank you for taking the time out to speak with me today and sharing your experience with the listeners. And I know it's going to be a fantastic conversation when it's out for people to listen to. So, yeah, very big thank you.
No, thank you so much, Mark. And, you know, like, I've got a project that's coming out very soon, I believe, end of January, called Soul Searching, which is going to be my debut EP. And there's a song on there that I've written called All For You and then All For You Mum. And I feel like that's another powerful song that a lot of people will be able to not only relate to, but also resonate and connect with and feel. And it'll be I think it's more of an uplifting, I went through a more uplifting kind of route with that song. And it's kind of like asking my mom and saying, I hope you're enjoying this view. I hope I'm making you proud. And it's kind of going through that route. And I think a lot of your listeners and people around the world that are in this club, I think a lot of us will be able to connect with it. And I think the people that aren't are lucky enough to not be in this club. I feel like they will get a glimpse as to why they should be grateful.
Sounds beautiful. Okay, well, look, I'm going to add all of the relevant links in the show notes so people can click on those and you know, check you out and see all the work that you've been doing. And, just thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you so much, man.